Welcome to the Save Your Marriage by Restoring the Man podcast, dedicated to all the men who are going through marital problems and want to save their marriages, with host Arturo Henriquez and sponsored by the Fortified Spouse.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this podcast. Thank you for being here. Before we start, if you like these episodes, if you like this podcast, please, you know, leave a review and comment. It helps in the algorithm so we can reach more men who are in situations like yours where they're dealing with marriage crises. And as well, if you want to have a complimentary private call with myself, go to www.fortifiedspouse.com/call, C-A-L-L. Again, we'll talk about your situation. It's complimentary. And again, it's private. Anyways, back to this episode. So I frequently get the same email or phone call or question, and it usually starts something like this. If you can save my marriage, you will be a miracle worker. And then they go on and they describe the situation that has lots of twists and turns and convolutions in it, and they're convinced that I can't save their marriage. And when I'm talking with them on the phone, I quickly respond and say, you know what? You're right. I can't save your marriage. And when I do that by email, it's the same kind of thing. But I go on further. If we're having a phone conversation, I'll say, you're right, I can't save your marriage. And they said, I knew it. Mine is impossible. And my response is, no, it's not about whether I can save your relationship or not. It's whether you can save your relationship or not. That's really the whole thing. This whole process is not about me saving somebody's relationship. It's about me offering some help for people who want to save their relationship. And that really is where we are. The information I have for you applies to all situations. But the question is not whether I will save your relationship, but whether you will save your relationship. And that is a significant difference, because one of them is where you get to say, I'm the one moving forward with this. The others were, I get all of the glory for having saved your relationship. The fact is, I can't save your marriage. I've never saved a marriage in all of my career. I've not saved a marriage in any one of my years that I've been doing this. The only marriage that I have saved has been mine. And I did that with my wife. I have, however, helped hundreds and hundreds of men to do just that. And my point here is that it's not me doing the work, it's you doing the work. I'm here to provide you with the guidance and the information that can do it. But this is about you stepping up and you deciding how you're going to follow that path. To be able to walk with you is a great pleasure. To be able to walk with you is a great honor as you go through that process. I've walked this road many, many, many times and watched many, many, many men and women restore their relationships. But I've been the one walking beside the person. And sometimes later on, the couple are the ones that have to save their relationship. Even if one spouse starts it, the other spouse needs to come in, and as a couple, they both save the relationship. It's not about somebody from the outside doing it. This is one of those things where it's about you doing it. Saving a marriage is an incredibly important thing. And you're the one who's choosing to do that. And one of the reasons I believe that saving a marriage is so important in this culture, it's because it's countercultural. You're doing something that so many people say, oh, what's the point? We live in a disposable world. One of the things that drives me crazy is to watch a perfectly good building get torn down, to be rebuilt in a slightly different form for some other slightly different company. And I watch all this good stuff just get toasted. And I also see this with all this other stuff that's perfectly good materials and devices and all these other things that quickly get junked because the next newest, shiniest thing comes out. We just live in that culture that says, oh, this is disposable. Well, in my mind, marriage is not disposable. I take very seriously the vows that people make at the beginning of the relationship. Those are the ones that we make. And remember, I always talk about the fact that this commitment that you make is about what you're going to do when you no longer feel the same way. And that reality is the nature of commitment and nature of those pledges. Those promises you make is that you promise to do something and continue to do it even when you no longer feel the way you did when you made that promise. Otherwise, all you're doing is saying, well, as long as we're happy together, we'll stick together. And yet, the wedding ceremony is all about the permanence of this, of turning away all the other people, of deciding to be on each other's sides, and whatever day comes your way, good days, bad days, rich days, poor days, sick days, healthy days, all of those days, that's commitment we're making. That's the commitment we're making. And that's why this is such a big deal. We're talking about the life of a couple and the life of a family, and often in the lives of children. You see, in this disposable world, it's easy to say, oh, that could be replaced. And it could be replaced as if it was a cell phone or a car or a house. But when we're talking about a relationship that affects many, many people, where it really is a place where you've been brought together and you've brought your families together and you've created another family, it's not so easy just to pull it apart. And yet, that's exactly the attitude many people have. I've heard many people say, well, if it's tough, it just isn't meant to be. And my response is, if it's tough, it just means that you stand up and you do the work. That is the nature of any struggle in life, is that we say, hey, I'm going to take that on. I'm going to push forward. And here you are just, you know, doing just that. I've seen in my career the damage done by divorce. I've seen the children who are affected, and not just the young children. I've seen people who come to me at 20, 30, 40, 50 years old talking about how they're having a hard time moving forward with their relationship because they watched what happened with their parents' relationship, that it didn't last. You hear it in premarital counseling all the time. You know, it's people are saying they struggle with getting married because I saw what my parents did and I saw that it didn't work. And they act as if, and I think have taken on the belief in this culture that no matter what they do, they're bound for the same destiny. And I just don't believe that's the case. I've watched the children be damaged. I've watched the finances of families completely devastated. First, by trying to support two households. Second, by trying to divide it. Third, by dealing with those assets that are in there and the arguments that come out of that in a lifetime of that, and the retirement issues and all of those other pieces. Then watch people just walk away devastated financially. I've also watched the health of two people who are divorcing to be horribly impacted, both their physical health and their emotional, psychological health and their sense of well-being. And even how they then move forward with other relationships. It's quite a blow when you've promised that you're going to be through this with somebody for the rest of their lives, and then suddenly that gets to be pulled apart. There's a psychological wound that doesn't go away. It stays with them for the rest of their lives. You've pledged together in front of family, in front of friends, and if you believe this way, in front of God, that you're going to join together the rest of your life. And when you do that, a psychological bond happens or begins to happen. And that's what I talk about, becoming a we. And whether you make it to that point or not, you started that process and the bonding is there. And so the damage that happens is incredibly intense for people. And a lot of people underestimate that. In fact, I believe that when people are contemplating divorce, they are in complete and utter denial over the pain that's created by that for them, for their spouse, for their children, for their families, for their parents, for their friends. They're pretending as if it's not a big deal, and it is a big, big deal. So recognize that what you're doing is a big deal. It's a huge deal. And I find myself standing next to all of my clients, the people who come to me because they are doing the hard work. It's amazing to watch the people work day in and day out to build and execute on a program, on their plan, on how to save their marriage by creating a new relationship with their spouse and changing themselves to become a better version of themselves, and how to change the connection that they've had all along so that it's deeper than it was before. You see, I believe that we always have three options, and these three options fit really in almost every situation. And you can choose any of these three options. So what are these three options? Well, number one, you can stay and just stay the way things are. So basically stay and stay stuck. That's where you decide you're just going to suck it up and go on through the relationship and just kind of tag it along and drag it along and kind of get through life at the same place that you are now. The second option is just to cut and run, to leave. And here's what happens for most people when they leave a marriage. They repeat the same mistake over and over again because they never fixed anything. They go and they create another relationship and they hit the same roadblocks. The statistics show this. First year marriage is 50% divorce. Second year marriage is close to 70%. Third year marriage is almost 80%. Why? Because nothing changed. All they're doing is leaving and repeating. They might have changed the person, I mean, their spouse. They might have changed where in the relationship they jumped back in, but they never fixed the problems, never fixed the mistakes, never grew. And so they were doomed to repeat them again. So you can stay and stay stuck. You can leave, cut, and run, and you're likely to repeat the same thing. Or number three is choose to transform, to stay in that current relationship and transform. That's when you stay and make it great. Now, there are certainly times in life when you just stay and you push through. Sometimes you get in a job. And I had this conversation just the other day with someone who said, I don't understand why that person stays in that job. They're not happy with it. And I happen to know that that person stayed in the job because it kept food on the table and paid the mortgage and kept the kids going the way they needed to go. That's why they stayed in that job. And sometimes that's an okay place to be if at least gives you some stability. Now, I'm not talking about that in a marriage. I'm talking about some places in life. Sometimes it's okay to just leave. I've had people who said, you know, this just isn't working for me, whether it's a job or a hobby or something else. And they just decide it's time to leave it. This is particularly true with, you know, things like hobbies. You can decide, you know, biking's just not for me. I'm going to sell my bike and leave it alone. Biking is one of those that you can just hang up and walk away from. There are lots of hobbies like that, and you probably have had hobbies in your life that you finally went, you know, I'm just going to leave it. I certainly have. It's just not giving me anything. It's not fulfilling. And it's a perfectly okay response to those situations. But in a marriage, I believe that the first two options are literally dead ends. You can't stay and just suffer through it. I don't think that the calling in life is just to manage to live through a relationship. I just don't think that's true. That's it. You'll notice that I didn't call my material How to Stop a Divorce, because stopping a divorce is stopping a legal process. But how to save a marriage, and not just save a marriage, but make it something you both would cherish, and you becoming the best version that you could be, that the person that you've always wanted to be, that your children wanted you to be, that your wife wanted you to be, that your parents wanted you to be, that's really the big deal here. So I don't think staying and sucking it up is the right choice, nor do I think leaving, just walking away, is the right choice either, mainly because I see the damage that comes from doing that. I do believe that the third option of finding a way to transform that relationship into something that you both would cherish, that you both would treasure, is the option. That's the way you move through a marriage crisis. That's why you're listening to this podcast. Maybe you're already in one of the coaching programs. But somewhere along there, you've begun to move in that direction. You've begun to say, you know what? That's what I want to do. I want to save and transform my relationship. If you're looking for just a hint, a trick on how to save a relationship, you probably already figured out you're not going to find it here. I get an email periodically where somebody says, I'll do anything to save my marriage. Just give me a hint. In fact, I got one of those a couple of days ago, and the person said they gave me, you know, their whole issues with their marriage, and they described all the problems, and they said, I'll do anything to save my marriage. Can you give me a hint on what to do? And I wrote back, I said, man, I can do way more than give you a hint. I can give you a whole program on how to do it, how to understand where things went wrong, how to understand where you need to go and how to do that, and how to understand your wife better and how she can understand you better, and a lot more other things that I can provide, all of that. I sent that off and I got a response back. It was the same response. Can you just give me a hint? No hint, no trick, no little technique is going to save a relationship. It takes a transformation in a mind to get to the place it needs to be. And guess what? That's what you're about. If you weren't about that, you wouldn't have made it to this episode, to this podcast, even in this recording. If you've listened to multiple of my episodes, my podcast, if you read my material, you're moving in that direction. That is amazing work. I believe that this work brings out really three virtues that I think are very important for us to learn and relearn in life. The virtues that I see are, number one is courage. Number two is commitment. And number three is concern. Courage is when you act in spite of the fears you have. A lot of times people believe that people do courageous action because they don't have fears. And that is not the case. Everybody who makes a courageous action has to have fear. Otherwise, they're just taking an action. And so part of what you're doing here is saying, I want to step up. I have these fears. I have these concerns, but I'm going to keep pushing for it. I'm going to keep taking action. And that courage is what will keep you moving. It's amazing to me to watch the courage that people take on to move through the fears and the pains of this process and to keep their head in the game, to keep moving forward. The second virtue is commitment. When you're talking about a marriage that's in trouble, you're probably not getting all the warm fuzzies you want either. The difference between you and your spouse may be that you're willing to keep moving forward and your spouse may not be quite so willing. And that's about commitment. You're choosing to be the savior. That's about commitment, not about the fact that you're getting all this out of it and they're not. You're probably not getting what you want out of it either. But you have a commitment to something and you're living within your commitment. And I believe that we all need something that's big enough that we say, I'm committed to working through this even when it's tough. That is impressive work to do. The third virtue I see is concern. Concern is empathy of recognizing that this is for the kids and for the family and for your spouse and for you. It's concern because you recognize the damage that happens when things don't go well. Sometimes people come to me and they tell me about the spouse that just cannot see beyond where they are and they're scared for that spouse. That's concern. Sometimes they tell me about the pain they can see their spouse is in and they're not sure what to do because they don't want to increase the pain. That's concern. Sometimes they recognize that their kids are going to suffer and they've got to find a way through that. That's concern. I talk and meet with some of the most empathetic and concerned people I would ever dream of meeting. It's kind of the perfect place where I meet people who are courageous, who are living in commitment, and who have concern for what happens. That's the virtues I see in this process, and they matter. In this world of disposable everything, those virtues matter. Don't let culture fool you. This is important work. You are doing incredibly important work. You're not going to get a lot of praise for it at this moment. You're not going to get a lot of joy out of it at this point. But you are doing incredible work. You may be getting pushback. You may be hearing voices from people. It may be friends. It may be relatives, family members that may be, you know, that are close to you. It may be your, you know, business colleagues. It could be therapists telling you it's time to back away from this. And you say, no, why would I do that? I've made this commitment. I've got this courage. I've got this commitment. I've got this concern, and I want to keep moving forward. And I want to tell you that that's not what culture tells you all the time. Now, the interesting thing is on the other side of it, once you save your relationship, a lot of people are willing to say, oh, I knew you could do it. I knew there was something more for the two of you. And they all join together. But right now, you may find that people are so caught up in this disposable world that they don't see how important it is. What you're doing. You're doing important stuff. Remember that. Don't be fooled by culture. Stay clear on four things: your goals, your reason, your process, and your plan. Your goals. What do you want to accomplish here? My hope for you is that your goal is to establish a relationship that is warm and loving and deep for both of you, where you stand by each other's side through thick and thin. Are you providing nurturing environment for the rest of your family and where you are in that commitment for the rest of your lives? That's what I hope. But find your goal. What is your goal in this process? The second are the reasons. Now, the goal is the one thing, but the reasons you're doing this right now, maybe you have some kids at home. The reason you're doing this, maybe because you have that commitment that you have and you want to honor it. Those are the reasons. Goals are moving forward. Reasons are usually anchored in the past. And so you have both where you're moving towards and why you're moving towards them from the past into the future. Then remember the process. And what I mean by remember the process is that you've got your eyes on the long term. But where you are right now, you can't say, I will save my marriage. You can say, I will do everything I can today to save my marriage. You can't say we're going to have our 50th anniversary, but you can say today I'm going to work to connect this way and to change myself this way and to create a new path this way. And when you do that, you create the possibilities down the road. You have control over the process in the moment. You don't have control of the ultimate goal. So don't get caught up in the ultimate goal. But the goals along the way of why you're doing this, and finally have a plan. And that is so important, to have a plan. Don't be flying by the seat of your pants in this, because if you do, your emotions are going to pull you back. You need to have something there that allows you, your reason and your rationality, to return, to move back into that courageous place where you keep moving forward. The best way of showing your courage is having that plan and following it every single day through the thick and the thin, through the good days and through the bad days. Remember this, it matters. No matter what the culture tells you, no matter what you're hearing from your spouse right now, no matter what you're hearing from your family and friends, this work matters. You are finding the way through following those virtues of courage, commitment, and concern. And let me tell you something. I'm amazed by the people who do that. And I am amazed by you. Thank you for listening.
You have been listening to the podcast, Save Your Marriage by Restoring the Man. For further information, visit the Fortified Spouse at www.fortifiedspouse.com. Thank you.